Baseball Tonight is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
this is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster, only working from my home in New York. And Taylor, I'm excited about today's podcast. Dave Schoenfield and Paula Bikides are going to join us, but I'm also excited about our Jackie Robinson Day podcast tomorrow. Yesterday, we taped a long interview with Brian Helgeland, who wrote and directed the movie 42, about that production, about his conversations with Rachel Robinson, about the late, great Chadwick Boseman, about a particularly wrenching scene. What a good guy.
Such a great guy. Very generous with his time. We weren't 100% sure. You know, you never know how an interview is going to go and how, you know, open someone's going to be. But Buster, you caught him open with the best of them, man. I mean, he really, I think he was a little tepid at first, but he was pouring out good stories. It was great.
Man, he had tons. And look, one of the cool things about him, he's so self-effacing and understated. And all you need to know about that, Brian won an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. He wrote, he was part of the two-man team that wrote L.A. Confidential. And here's the speech he gave after screen legends Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau announced he was part of the winning duo. First, here's the announcement from Walter Matthau.
And the Oscar goes to Brian Helgeland and Curtis Hanson.
So that's the announcement. And then here's Brian's speech. You guys have seen Oscar speeches. Well, here's Brian's.
Hey, my sons relentlessly play with action figures at home, and I am constantly left out. And that's all going to end tonight because I'm bringing this guy home. And just for Kansas City tonight, this is from now on going to be called an Elroy in my house. Thank you very much.
And that was it, Taylor. 21 seconds.
Concise, to the point. His children will never forget that. I loved it, actually.
I did, too. And I don't think we're going to run this part of the interview that we did with him, but I asked him about that. He said, yeah, no one wants to hear from a writer. He was great, and I think folks are really going to enjoy the conversation we had with him about the making of the movie 42. One of the cool things is he's not a baseball guy. And yet he wound up making this phenomenal baseball movie. All right, news and notes of the day. The first one is really crappy. Cleveland's Yu Chang showed anti-Asian racist message that he got on social media after he made an error on Monday. One of the messages referred to the shape of his eyes and another referred to the coronavirus. Those are idiots. Who did that? Infielder Matt Duffy has joined other Chicago Cubs players in the COVID-19 related injured list. Pitcher Kyle Hendricks was scratched from Tuesday's start versus the Brewers out of an abundance of caution after the right-hander wasn't feeling well. Bad news for the Seattle Mariners for James Paxton. He's going to undergo season-ending elbow surgery. The Mariners are not specific about what kind of surgery it is, but you would have to assume there's a chance it's Tommy John surgery. Paxton is 32 years old. He left his first start of the season in the second inning after just 24 pitches. Christian Pache exited the Braves game on Tuesday night with left groin tightness. It was not apparent when Pache began feeling the discomfort. The rookie center fielder is off to a slow start. Fernando Tatis Jr. on the injured list for the Padres, working his way back from a left shoulder issue. Padres manager Jace Tingler gave an update.
I can tell you Tatis continues to progress. He looks good. He did some live BP or simulated game today. Got maybe 5 or 6 at bats. His day is definitely not done. He still got some defensive work and things like that to do. But it's been encouraging. And, you know, as long as, we don't have any setbacks or anything like that, we just want to keep progressing and ramping up the intensity day to day. And so far he's doing well.
This was a neat note that came out yesterday. Fresh off pitching the first no-hitter in the Padres' 52-year history, Joe Musgrove has found out his achievement served up a positive effect on his family as well. The right-hander's family owns and operates a coffee shop in the San Diego suburb of Alpine, California, and Padres fans have been flocking there since Musgrove threw his no-hitter against the Rangers in Arlington. Really cool. According to MLB.com, the Astros are finalizing a one-year extension with catcher Martin Maldonado that also includes a vesting option for 2023. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Vandy alum Mike Yastrzemski had a moment in the Giants game.
High drive, right field, it is out of here.
A great Dwayne Kuiper on the Giants television network. Yeah, I texted him that there's no question. Mike Yastrzemski, if he was a cow, he would be a jersey. And Dwayne Kuiper, another farmer, I don't know if he agrees with me, but that's the case. The Marlins had a good day against the Braves coming back, and former Brave Adam Duvall had a huge game.
Dayton to Duvall. A high fly ball, left center field, racing back in. Ciarte at the wall. Goodbye! Home run, number two on the night for Duvall. He's knocked in seven in the ball game, and the Marlins blow it open. It's 14-6.
Glenn Geffner, 940 WINZ. The Mets swept the doubleheader. Marcus Stroman was great on the mound in game two, and he got help from Brandon Nimmo.
The pitch to Nimmo. Line drive, base hit into right field, giving chase is Harper. Pilar is in to score. VR is in to score. Throw comes in for Harper. On to third goes Nito. A two-run single for Brandon Nimmo. And the Mets have increased their lead to 3-0 here in the bottom of the fourth.
That from WCBS. The Blue Jays and the Yankees. Marcus Semien had a moment for the Jays.
Semien lifts a high fly ball to left, drifting back. This ball is gone. Marcus Semien, that ball just kept going and going and going, and it carries right out of the ballpark, his fourth home run to give the Blue Jays a 4-0 lead.
Buck Martinez describing part of the Blue Jays 7-3 win on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And the Red Sox played the Twins through snow yesterday. It was 2-2, top of the eighth inning, and this happened.
3-1 pitch coming to Bobby. And he swings and rips one to right field. Fair ball, base hit, rolling into the corner. This will get Arroyo home. Kepler grabs the carom and into second with a pop-up slide. And his second double is Bobby Dalbec. How about the 7, 8, and 9 hitters today as the Red Sox lead for the first time 3-2.
The great Joe Castiglione on WEEI 93.7 FM. The Red Sox won that game set 4-2. They have now won 7 in a row. Now, before we get to Dave Schoenfield, Paul Imbachides, baseball is back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with more than 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball, and the fantasy baseball season is underway. That means fantasy-focused baseball with Eric and Tristan is a must-listen for all fantasy baseball managers. Follow fantasy-focused baseball wherever you listen to podcasts.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code baseball. That's code baseball. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield, who covers baseball for ESPN. How you doing, Dave?
I'm good, Buster. Waiting for our big snowstorm that's going to hit us tomorrow.
What?
Are you
Where have you been? 3 to 5 inches here in Connecticut.
What are you talking about, Dave?
Right?
Oh, my God. I had no idea. It's a beautiful day today. I'm getting my second vaccination, and then I plan on playing basketball with my son, and you're telling me. And I, by the way, 2 weeks ago, I took my snowblower, and I put it down in this area where we have all of our stacked wood. You're telling me I got to pull that out?
Yeah, mine's like in the back corner of the garage, so I'm going to have to remove all the shovels and the rakes and dig that thing out, although it should melt after a day, right? But it's never too late in New England for a snowfall.
See, that must be karma payback, because I was watching the Twins and Red Sox yesterday and laughing at the hitters trying to deal with the snow.
Yep.
It never occurred to me that snow was headed right for me and you.
We're used to it, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe tomorrow we're not going to be doing that great. The Dodgers are rolling. Here was Corey Seager in the first inning last night.
Cracks one the other way, left center field, back towards the wall. There it goes! Seager's first of the season.
That was the great Joe Davis on the Dodgers television network. In the second inning, here was Chris Taylor.
Taylor hits it hard, way back to center field. Hampson runs out of room, back-to-back home runs.
And so the Dodgers went on, Dave, to have another blowout win. They're now 9-2. They have a run differential of 30, just 11 games into the season. And I projected it out, you know, at the current rate, this is with the pace that they're on. At the current pace, the Dodgers would finish 132-30, and they would have a run differential of plus 441. Okay. They are crazy good, and I feel better about the fact that before the season started, I said that I thought that they would approach some of the levels that the 98 Yankees did.
Yeah, look, I'm pumped about them potentially chasing that 116 win record. I got to mention my beloved Mariners.
Whatever, come
from
on.
2001. Here's the thing. They're on this pace. It's early, blah, blah, blah. But like the highlight said, first home run of the year for Seager. Mookie Betts said he came back last night, but he missed like half their games because he had a sore back. Cody Bellinger's hurt. Kenley Jansen, he's not really a lockdown closer anymore, but they're 9-2. That's how good they are. I don't even think they're playing as well as we might see them play at some point. It's just an absolutely dominant team and absolutely have a chance to be one of the great teams of all time.
Let me see if you agree with me on this. Part of the reason why I really feel like they have a chance to challenge some of those benchmarks, besides the fact that they're a great team, but that 98 season, part of the reason why the Yankees absolutely dominated was that the league was so polarized. You had the first season of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and the Yankees destroyed them. Like, and Kansas City was really bad, and the Yankees destroyed them, and they destroyed the Oakland Athletics. In the National League, you have the same kind of dynamic. We got the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Pirates. You've got some teams that seem to be really bad, and you feel like, when you watch the Dodgers play the Rockies, you can't imagine how the Rockies are going to beat them.
Yeah, right. And so what, 19 games against Colorado, they could, you know, clean up against them. 16-3, 17-2. Arizona, I think, might be a little better, but they could clean up on them. We'll see how good the Giants are. You know, I've mentioned this before, even though we know the Padres are going to be good, remember the year the Mariners won 116. Oakland won 100 games that year. So you can do it even though you have another tough team in your division. Look, they're just so deep. I think we're a long ways from getting to this point, but how hard do you think, Buster, will Dave Roberts push them? Because Lou Piniella back in 01, when Seattle had a chance at that record, they wanted it. And he didn't rest his regulars much at all, even though they had the big lead. I don't think Dave Roberts will do this. We'll do that, you know, once we get to August and September. But they're so deep, it might not matter.
Right. And I agree with you. I don't think he would push them. I think that they will continue to run their system, which includes resting their players a lot. But I also agree with you that internally, the players will begin to push for the mark if they actually begin to get closer to the Yankees, 114 wins from 98, or the Mariners, you know, 116 wins. The players will begin to really drive that push. And that's what, covering that 98 team, that's absolutely what distinguished them. You know, Tony Muser was the manager of the Kansas City Royals, you know, at that time, very small market team. And he told me that when he went out in the winter after that season and he would do like the fan caravan, that there'd be Royals fans who'd be like, oh, those Yankees, all they do is buy players and it's not fair. And Tony said he found himself defending the Yankees, saying, no, 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 you don't understand what's great about this team. This team plays so hard. And in Tony's eyes, he loved the fact that the Yankees took the Royals as seriously as when they played the Red Sox. And so when they obliterated the Royals, Tony took that as a compliment, as opposed to teams just sort of slopping along. I think that's what the Mariners did.
And you know, going back to the Yankees, I see a lot of similarities. I remember back in 98, Jeter, Andy Pettit, Rivera, Bernie Williams, these were guys who were still pretty young in their career, right? Yep. But then they had the mix of the veterans like Paul O'Neill. And that's what this Dodger team is, right? They have all the young homegrown players, you know, early in their careers, but then they've added, you know, the Trevor Bowers and some of the veteran players. It's a nice mix. It allows them to push each other and not take a day off. And the Dodgers are not going to take a day off this year.
You mentioned Kenley Jansen. You know, hasn't looked great so far this year. I did radio in L.A. yesterday. Ramona Shelburne, our colleague at ESPN, asked about, you know, do you think that Kenley will be the closer in 2 months? And I said, yeah, I think he will be, because this team being so dominant really will give them a lot of time to sort through this and try to make this work. Dave Roberts has often said this team is best when Kenley is the closer. And part of that reason why is salary, right? They're paying Kenley Johnson to be the closer. And so when you're this dominant, boy, you can give him rest. You can work with him. You can probably, you know, try to grind through when he's having slumps. It buys more time for them to solve issues.
Yeah, and we all know what the big question there is. I don't think Jansen's even going to pitch so poorly that Roberts at some point has no choice but to take him out. The long-term question is obviously, will Dave Roberts have confidence in him in the playoffs? And we got all season to work through that. Clearly, Blake Treinen has better stuff. Corey Knebel's looking kind of like he did a few years ago when he was one of the best closers in the game. We got 6 months to figure that out. For now, Jansen's the closer. He'll be fine.
Trevor Bauer last night, 7 innings, 9 strikeouts, 1 hit. In watching this, it did feel like he was sending a message.
Yeah, the one hit was a swinging bunt, you know. So he had 2 walks early on, then he retired the last 15 or something like that in a row. Yeah, this is one thing I think we all speculated on. These starting pitchers, they want to one-up the guy that just dominated the night before, right? So that's another thing that's going to keep this team going. Bauer, you know, I know somebody asked us at the start of the year, who's the more likely Cy Young guy in the Dodgers, Kershaw or Buehler or Bauer? Bauer was my guy because he was so good last year, and he wants to prove he's worth that $40 million or whatever they're paying him this year.
I totally agree, and here's another reason why. I don't think he's going to be protected the way the other two guys are, and I don't mean that as a knock on Clayton Kershaw, you know, but he's older, and he's had physical issues, and the Dodgers will easing back when they need to. And Walker Buehler is a huge part of their future, and they're going to protect him. With Trevor Bauer, he got paid.
Yeah. And, you know, they're in that bullpen is so deep. They don't have to push any of those guys, but we all know Bauer wants to go 7 or 8, you know, or 9 every game out, and his pitch count isn't going to be as big a factor.
All right. A really cool matchup that you wrote about in a piece that's on ESPN.com today. Last night between Shane Bieber and Lucas Giolito. Tell me what you saw.
Yeah, look, that might end up being the best pitching matchup we see all year. Bieber, 9 scoreless innings, Giolito, 7+. You know, exactly what we expected and more so. Bieber became, the sixth pitcher ever to start a year with 10 or more strikeouts. He had through 8 innings, Buster. He'd only thrown 86 pitches. So that's why he lasted through 9. He just throws first pitch strikes to every hitter, but it's not always a fastball. Sometimes it's that curveball, sometimes a slider. The White Sox just had no read on him. And the one thing I'd say, both these guys, it's a reminder, you don't have to throw 98. They throw hard, but they top out at 94. They're not necessarily just blowing their fastballs by batters. They locate, they mix their off-speed stuff. Just a clinic.
Yeah, and Bieber's interesting to me because, I mean, you can't find a pimple on his 2020 season, you know, to win a Triple Crown, to win the Cy Young Award. But you and I saw the same thing as he went down the stretch. I want to say his last one or two starts. And in the postseason, it was pretty clear that hitters were beginning to anticipate some of his off speeds or his breaking stuff, particularly that cutter. And he was getting into problems with some pitch counts. So what you just cited right there, the efficiency, getting ahead in the count, is something that probably, I'm guessing, in his mind this year was a really important thing for Bieber.
Yeah, you're right. That is exactly how teams kind of attacked him last year, trying to get him out after five or six innings. The White Sox, you know, now they're a very hyper-aggressive team, so we'll see how he does when he has to face, you know, the Yankees or the Astros, teams like that that are a little more patient. But he was throwing that all that breaking stuff for strikes last night, and when he's doing that, you know, the ball just moves so much, he's going to be tough.
All right, Taylor, get ready to play the music. We're going to play a game, Dave. We're going to call Face Value.
Let's do it.
All right. This is in regards to early small sample size. And I always sort of laugh at that phrase because some people, if there's a statistic that they don't like, they'll go, well, it's small sample size. When does small sample size become appropriate sample size? I guess it's when you decide as the consumer whether it's enough to satisfy you.
Indeed, yep.
So I'm going to give you four sample size of numbers, and you tell me which one is large enough and actually reflective of what's going on. So here are the four sets of numbers. Washington Nationals, 2 wins and 6 losses. Cincinnati Reds, 7 wins and 4 losses. The Indians, 6-4. The Red Sox, 7-3. Among those four, which small sample size is actually reflective of a larger trend?
The Nationals, I am worried about, especially after watching Steven Strasburg last night. Lowest average velocity on his fastball of any start in his career, only 90.7. He said it was nothing, just early season April stuff, small sample size stuff, but there's just concerns about the depth on that roster.
Yeah, and all winter, as we were preparing for the season and they were making moves, I can tell you, folks with other teams were like, yeah, that defense, it's not going to say, not going to give you any saves. And it was interesting, you mentioned Strasburg. He and Dave Martinez took issue with a camera that was pointed down the runway that showed Strasburg kind of rubbing his neck and his shoulder, you know, leading to questions about how he's feeling. And I read one story today which said, you know, they dismissed that as an issue, that this potentially could be an issue. Well, you and I know if they weren't, if there was no issue, they wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it statistically, by game score, the second worst start of his career. Look, to be fair, you know, they had guys like Josh Bell and Kyle Schwarber that, you know, just got back from the COVID list. You know, so a little unfair to judge their start, but I think there were some concerns about them heading into the season, and they haven't, you know, resolved any of those yet.
See, you surprised me. I thought that you would pick out what I would have picked out of that group. The Indians at 6-4, that to me is reflective of a larger trend. It feels like that every year when the Indians have to move on from a star, whether it's trading a Trevor Bauer, Mike Clevenger, Francisco Lindor, everyone says, okay, well, the Indians are going to go away. Since Tito Francona took over as manager, they'll win you 90 games every year and have great pitching, which is why I think their 6-4 start is reflective of what they could do over the course of the year.
Yeah, I think, you know, the experts, including us, a lot of us were too readily to dismiss them, you know, after trading Lindor and Carlos Carrasco. But Terry, he gets the most out of that team every year. We get it. They're not going to score a lot of runs. But they catch the ball and they pitch. And I think they have a pretty good back end of the bullpen. And I don't know if the Twins and White Sox are necessarily going to run away with that division either. So it could be a three-team race.
Yeah, with the Royals also being competitive.
Yeah, don't discount Kansas City.
Yeah, and pulling the other teams down by as these teams beat the heck out of each other. All right, Dave, thanks for playing face value.
We'll do it again next week, Buster, when the sample sizes are slightly less small.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jumping into the numbers. This is Himbo Knows on Baseball Tonight.
And Himbo is Paul Imbecchietti. He's a researcher at ESPN. He's a honcho on the show Get Up, and you guys know the rest, so I won't go through it again. It's just embarrassing for him. All right, Himbo, you send me notes before your segments every week, and this week, one of the things you want to talk about is Javier Baez.
So over the last two seasons, Javier Baez has played 70 games, and in them, has 93 strikeouts against 8 walks. That is the worst ratio among 243 hitters with at least 150 plate appearances over that span. But what concerns me even more, Buster, is the lack of damage he's doing inside the strike zone. That was once his strength. Baez owns a swing and miss rate of 44% on those pitches this season. That is 21% higher than his career average entering 2021.
And by the way, to put your numbers in perspective, 8 walks and 93 strikeouts, you know, a player who doesn't seem to be evolving in the last couple of years, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. this year, 8 walks, 8 strikeouts.
Wow.
You know, so very different. All right, Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres hit 62 home runs in his ages 21 and 22 seasons. Alex Rodriguez is the only middle infielder to ever hit more. But that's not the Gleyber Torres I've seen the last 2 years. Torres has played 52 games during that time and produced a total of 12 extra base hits. His slugging percentage of .337 ranks in the 9th percentile among regulars. And no shortstop, Buster, has cost his team more runs than Torres has. He's minus 10 in defensive runs saved. There is just no redeeming quality to his game right now.
I do wonder if after this year you will see the Yankees dive into the free agent market and try to grab one of these better defensive shortstops. Will Myers had to leave Tuesday's game against the Pirates because he had right knee inflammation, something that popped up during spring training. You hope that he's going to be better going forward because, man, he has been tremendous, not only this year, but he was last year.
That's right. Will Myers has arrived, and this time I think it's for real. He is blending better pitch selection with just absurd contact, Buster. He ranks in the 84th percentile this season in chase rate, only 18%. That would be a career low by a long shot. And over the last two seasons, Buster, he ranks second in your new favorite stat, crush quotient, which measures total bases per swing. And as you know, he is sandwiched on that list between Juan Soto and Mike Trout. Pretty good company.
Yeah, pretty excellent company. Now, this one, I get the feeling I'm going to inject from my old statistics class from Vanderbilt, but you're going to try to make the case about one player being really, really important in baseball.
Yeah, so I think Byron Buxton might not be the most valuable player in baseball, but I think the numbers suggest that he might be the most important, and here's why. Over the last three seasons, 19, 20, and 21, the Twins are 92 and 43 with a plus 227 run differential when he plays. And over that span, Buxton ranks 32nd among position players in wins above replacement, despite ranking 260th in games played. Buster, he's just got to stay healthy.
Now, Dr. Larson, who is my stats professor at Vanderbilt, would argue with you that, you know what, the Twins, even though they've had success with Buxton, is it so much greater than their normal success that you would go, this is a big difference-making player.
Here's what I would say.
Okay.
So what was most interesting to me about this is that the Twins' run production in games in which he plays versus does not play is actually pretty similar. What's crazy is that over a somewhat significant size of games, sample size of games, they average, they allow about a run and a half fewer per game when he plays. Now, obviously, you can't chuck up anywhere close to all of that to center field defense, but there is no question that his glove in center field matters a lot, so much so that it could actually affect the pitching staff, how they approach hitters, and the way that they attack the strike zone and such. A run and a half difference per game in what you allow when he plays versus when he doesn't, at minimum, was enough for me to flag it and bring it up.
All right, Dr. Larson would appreciate your defense right there. It's very interesting because in recent days, the Braves have been losing, you know, starting with that terrible replay call that went against them on Sunday night. But Ronald Acuña Jr., it seems like every night is showing off incredible skills.
I am obsessed with the idea of a player going 50-50. And Ronald Acuña Jr. has the goods to do it. Over his last 162 games, Acuña has 48 home runs and 43 stolen bases. Right now, he ranks in the top 10 in both barrel percentage, which is the frequency with which he makes ideal contact, and average sprint speed. So we know that he has the tools to do it too. I say his biggest roadblock to 50-50 is probably the fact that in his last 162 games, he's also struck out 205 times. So he'll likely need more trips to first base and fewer empty at-bats to get there. What do you say?
I would agree with you. I would say this. He's improving in a lot of different ways. And Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, told us the other day that Acuña always has fun playing. He said, I don't know how this is possible, but it feels like he's having more and more fun. And you can see that energy in, when he plays. And here's something kind of cool for you to think about. You know, we're doing these in-game Zoom interviews. We'll run them that we do during the course of the week. Today, I get to tape an interview between Ronald Acuña Jr. and Ozzie Albies on the other side.
Wow.
One of the questions I think I'm going to ask Ozzie, because you know they're kind of like big brother, little brother. Do you think Ronald can go 50-50? And I'm going to be really curious to see what his reaction is going to be.
You better ask him that question. Look, I think it would be one of the coolest things ever. 40-40 is a remarkable accomplishment, only done by a handful of people. 50-50 would obviously be on another level, and I think would probably almost guarantee him the MVP award.
All right. Hembo, thanks for doing this.
Later, boys.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a Wednesday. First up, we have Jeremy T. At Jeremy Termini, he writes in, other than Garrett Cole, the Yankees starting pitching has been awful, causing the bullpen to work hard early in the season. How long can they go before they make a move or two or three for an upgrade to the starting pitching?
Yeah, Jeremy, I think they would wait until the middle of the season because, let's face it, if you go and try to make a move now, it's going to cost an arm and a leg. They also have some options from the minor leagues that they probably would explore. And also, just take a look at the American League East standings. They're kind of bunched up. The Red Sox have won seven in a row. But generally speaking, I don't know if there's a team we look at and say that team is going to run away and hide from the rest of the division. So there's time for the Yankees to work this out.
Next up, P.K. Steinberg. He writes in, should baseball consider the implementation of a tie ball game after an inning or three or extras? Just call it a tie and move on? ? What do you think?
P.K., you better run and hide. I suggested that on a Sunday night broadcast a couple of years ago, and my goodness, on social media, I got crushed talking about that. You know, for years and years, they had that point system in the NHL. I don't think that's something baseball would consider.
An NHL should go back to the ties. I think Americans just fragile about winning and losing. Can't handle a tie, Buster, in my opinion. Next up, we have Trevor Dunning at TL Dunning. He writes in, does Major League Baseball need to address the extra runner rule on extra innings in the NL? The Mets manipulated the rule to make Lindor the extra base runner.
Nah, it's fine. I think it's fine. As you know, we're going through an experimental period here. I look at that and look, if you can find ways to put yourself in a better position, so be it. I just like the fact of putting runners at second base and we're not having 20 inning games anymore. I used to think it was kind of fun. And now over time, my thought on that has evolved. What about you, Taylor?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like I said, I'm into tie ball games. I feel like all these people complain about extra innings, like get over it. the ship has sailed. I think.
Yep.
That does it for Bleacher Tweets. Thanks for writing in, everyone. # Bleacher Tweets on Twitter.
Before we go, I want to say best wishes to the great Howie Rose, the longtime Mets radio broadcaster, who's attending to a personal medical issue. He was not doing the Mets doubleheader yesterday. And everybody's looking forward to having him back at Citi Field. That's for sure. That's it for today. My thanks to Taylor, to Dave, to Hembo. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.